Third District Republican Party Chair Brian Westrade, a delegate to the Republican National Convention. It's the morning after the 4 days worth. Let's start with this. What was your highlight of the convention?
Well, I think it's calling in to WAYY this morning. That's the highlight of any person's life, right?
Yeah, you know.
What was second place then?
Yeah. You know, just literally, you know, it isn't any one thing. It was just the total experience. I mean, it was far more surreal and just unique than I expected it to. I mean, I was, you know, if I hadn't made a pledge to, if I hadn't been an elected delegate, if I'd been an appointed delegate, I probably would have canceled. Just because, you know, life's busy. Kids have softball, baseball games, work's busy. But as an elected delegate, I felt, well, you know, once you run, you have an obligation to go unless something extreme comes up. And I'm really glad I did, because it's truly surreal. It's truly kind of bizarrely unique. You walk around, I mean, just to begin with, the security apparatus they put in place, I mean, there were literally blocks and blocks of 10-foot high fence cordons that the VIPs would use. So you'd be walking around and you'd have police escorted black SUVs zipping from one dedicated cordon to the next, so they didn't have to use the regular roadways and the cordons to keep, you know, expected protesters away. And then cops, I mean, police from Austin, Texas, and the Florida State Patrol, and the U.S. Postal Police, and Secret Service, Capitol Police from D.C., Homeland Security officers were all over the place. And on top of that, media. I mean, it was, you threw a rock in any direction, you'd hit a reporter of some sort. It all within, you know, a square mile or less of area. I think one of the things that surprised me most, the protests were thoroughly underwhelming. I mean, they prepared for protest Armageddon, and they got a protest whimper. I walked back and forth to the convention hall every day. I walked around when we weren't in session, and I didn't feel intimidated, much less, you know, harassed by anybody. I think some of the protests that I even really noticed were like the Westboro Baptist people, and everyone hates them. I mean, so it seemed like the you know, fire and brimstone Bible thumpers were there, and I don't think they're part of them. My guess is they go anywhere there's media going to show up. I mean, it was just, it's hard to explain how bizarre it is to just have, you know, 10,000 suit-wearing individuals roaming around with media everywhere. It's just, and turn around and you hit somebody who, at least in government, is powerful, or a celebrity. You know, walking back from the convention hall on day three, I found myself for three blocks walking next to the House Ways and Means Chairman, Kevin. He's a congressman, Kevin Day, I think it is, from Texas, and I was able to chat with him about what they're doing to impact IRS forfeiture seizures and things of that nature. It's just, you know, walking from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame yesterday, I ran into Rick Sanford, the former governor of South Carolina and now congressman. I call him the Phoenix because he went out hiking, quote-unquote, on the Appalachian Trail. It happened to be in Argentina, as it were, and it somehow loses the governor's mention but becomes a congressman. It's hard to explain. I mean, it truly was a once-in-a-lifetime, I think, especially for a Wisconsinite. Because Wisconsin was all over this convention.
What was the vibe over the 4 days in terms of, I don't want to necessarily break it down to pro-Trump, anti-Trump, but in terms of what happened on Monday with the Colorado delegation trying to get something going, there was that little thing that happened with Alaska and then a little bit of back and forth there. Then Wednesday night with Cruz and then the culmination on Thursday. Kind of track what was maybe not necessarily the percentage of pro this, pro that, but how did it evolve over the 4 days?
Yeah, and I think evolve is a great word to use, because it seemed like coming into the convention, you had people that really loved Trump. Okay, so you had, and a lot of the really loved Trump people are folks that at least within the Wisconsin delegation, you know, maybe we haven't really seen before. And then you had kind of everybody else who was just seemed to be kind of taking a, you know, okay, we've accepted the reality that he's the nominee, that the people voted, he hit that 1,237 with, you know, with 300 extra. So you know, that's a fait accompli, we're on board, have to defeat Hillary. But on Monday, you know, the attitude Monday, Tuesday, you know, and from Monday to Thursday, the attitude went from wait and see to, oh, okay, we're more comfortable with this person as an individual and as a candidate. And I think that last night, you know, really cemented it. I mean, you know, I made no bones about the fact that I did not support Mr. Trump through the primary process. You know, on convention floor, I was seated next to a delegate who, you know, voted for John Kasich in the primary. And just over the course of the 4 days, I think that the those who had kind of a wait and see attitude, I think that most of our, for the most part, our fears have been assuaged. I mean, that his speech last night proved that he is willing to follow, you know, follow directions, that he's willing to rein in his natural tendency to want to just be off the cuff. I think he hit all the high points that he needed to from an ideological perspective. You know, I agreed with maybe 90% of what he said, and that's more than enough for me. I think that was it. I think if I could describe it in two words, Monday, cautious, Thursday, content.
Brian, a couple of different things I want to get your perspective on. As far as the Trump family and his kids speaking, was it too much family, and, you know, there weren't a lot of others that had a chance because of that? And which one of the Trump kids, I guess, so to speak, impressed you the most? And the whole Cruz dynamic at the convention, did he do himself any good if he's looking at 2020? Even if he says if Trump wins, he's still looking at 2020. I mean, as far as the Trump family and the Cruz dynamic at this convention.
Yeah, the Trump family, so I think Donald Jr. did the best by far. I mean, again, if you're on the floor of that convention hall, you're probably fairly politically engaged. And, you know, one individual I respect a great deal said, you know, that was one of the top 10 political speeches I've heard. I think that Eric did well, that Ivanka did well. You know, as far as too much, I mean, I'll be honest, there were some speakers at this convention that left me scratching my head. I mean, a state senator from Kentucky, you know, which really it just kind of felt like he was there because he was Hispanic. I hate to say that, but that certainly is political pandering. It's part of the game. But, I mean, maybe I'm missing something and he's done something significant that I don't know about. But, in fact, when I got interviewed by a Swedish reporter, and one of them, she said, I was in Tampa in 2012. She said, in 2012, the speaker's list left me, you know, impressed. She said, in this cycle, the speaker's left me kind of going, shrugging my shoulders. Maybe the Trump having all three of the kids was a filler. I'm not sure. But I thought they all did well. I mean, and I think that Mike Pence really hit something that is, a solid line, which is you can't fake good kids. And I think we all know that. If you're a parent, you know, generally speaking, if your kids are good, it's because the parents did a good job of raising them. And in Donald Trump, in Donald's case, you can certainly wonder about the mothers, because he's obviously divorced from all but the youngest kid, his kid's mom. But the fact that his kids are so active and part of his life suggests that he, you know, wasn't an absentee dad. I think it was good to humanize him. I think that's one of the things that needs to be done for Donald, is he needs to be humanized. So I thought their speeches were good. I thought it was fine to have all three of them speak, and, you know, a lot of convention time to fill up. Regarding Cruz, Ted Cruz killed his additional political future by doing what he did. And the reason is this, is if Donald wins, Donald's going to make him pay. I mean, that is one thing I think everyone can agree on with Donald Trump, is he doesn't let things slide. And two, if Donald loses, in 2020, the Republican Party is going to remember that one of their, whether it's fair or not, we'll remember that one of the reasons he lost is because Ted Cruz didn't do more to unify the party. So it's damned if you do, damned if you don't for Ted Cruz in 2020. I don't like what he did. Okay, you've heard the soundbite. He said, "I'm a man of my word. When I give my word, I keep it." Look, if you're not willing to support the nominee because he picked on your wife or your dad, then you should say that when you endorse it, or when you say you'll endorse it. "I will endorse him unless he picks on my family." But he didn't. It was unequivocal. And I think that it's a failure of leadership on both Cruz and Kasich's part. Cruz for doing what he did during his speech, and Kasich for not being there at all. Look, we had the Democrat mayor of Cleveland come and welcome us. You know, we're in Kasich's state, and he doesn't come to the Republican convention. And Cruz, like I say, failure of leadership. I think that Governor Walker really proved the type of principled leader he is. He said he would endorse the nominee when he ran, and he did, even though Donald Trump came into Wisconsin and attacked Governor Walker's signature legislation. And the legislation that he and his family went through significant trials over the course of 2 years, and yet Governor Walker got on that stage and said, "We need to unite, we need to defeat Hillary Clinton, and Donald Trump is the nominee." To me,
how warm was Governor Walker's backing, though? How really, truly authentic was it?
Yeah, well, it was authentic, Bob. It really was. And I had a chance to talk to him one-on-one several times through the course of the week. And he also spoke to our delegation, breakfast delegation, several times. And it's absolutely authentic. I mean, he really does believe we need to unify behind Trump and defeat Hillary on November 8th.
And very last question, now have you seen a whole convention from the working point of view? Is there anything you think that the party should change in any sense for a 2020 convention?
Yeah, I think that they need to jazz it up somehow. I mean, I was actually looking forward to Trump's promised showmanship, or that we were going to get more show than usual, and it just seemed like a regular convention, which is fine. Okay, it's a political convention, you have to do business and the rest of it, but it would be fun to have something be a little bit more out of the ordinary. But all in all, it was a great week.